This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan Decute, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories. Welcome back to another episode of Good Things Guy. I am excited for the guest, and I say that every week. Every week I say I'm excited, but I'm really excited. Roseanne McKenzie is not just a friend. She's also someone who was at the start of my NEC nomination journey. As some of you know that may have followed the journey, NEC nominations is where I decided to be a homeless person instead of drinking. And the very next Monday, that happened on the Friday, the very next Monday, my friend comforted me and held me and put me on air on an Afrikaans breakfast show where I may have used the word lacquer and donkey, maybe, was what I said. Rosie, welcome to Good Things, Guy.
Thank you so much. The last time I interviewed you, I was, I think, 37 weeks pregnant. That was that long ago.
But was it that show?
It was that show.
And you pulled me in. The producers had sent me the content productions and whatever. And my greatest concern was that the fact that it was Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. And he has this Engelsman coming onto the show. But you treated me with such care.
Oh.
And since then, obviously, I've done a bit of stuff with Jacaranda, and I've got the podcast, and I've got the show, and all these things going on. And what I've realized, the most important part of any interview is how the host treats the guest. Because I've had it bad. I've had it really bad. There's been some people that have really ripped the ring. And I've realized that you are really, really, really good at what you do.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. That really does. Coming from you, like, that's very special to me. Thank you.
I mean, like I said, it was one of the first interviews, and it was memorable to me. You do a lot now. You've got the production company where you're producing actual content on TV.
Yeah.
You've got your radio show. Have you written a book yet? I don't know. Is that in the pipeline?
I've written a chapter in a book that's supposed to come out later this year, but I haven't written a whole book, no.
But you're a busy, strong, independent woman who is also a mom with two kids, who also is mad about fitness. You're so inspirational. Sometimes I see your stuff and I'm like, yeah, boy, get to gym now. Gotta go to gym. You're slacking. And you've survived a global pandemic.
Mm.
Where do we start? How was the whole COVID lockdown?
You know, I think it was such a big shock. Like, I think we saw what was happening overseas, and we were kind of like, yeah, it's a European thing, or it's happening away from where we are. And then I think when we got the news about the 3-week hard lockdown, it was just
the 21 days.
21 days.
Which we couldn't process 21 days of being locked down.
Exactly. When we got that, it was really kind of a shock to me, because all of a sudden the coronavirus was now here, and it wasn't this thing that was very far removed from me. But yeah, I'm here. I've survived. I have luckily not been infected, and my family's been safe and healthy. So
I must ask, as a mom, because you're also very vocal about being a mom, yeah, and I think you help a lot of women through their motherhood as well. Kids do crazy things.
Yes, they do. Especially mine.
So at the beginning of lockdown, we didn't know much about this virus. What was that fear as a mom like, having two little ones?
Do you know what? I was I won't say there was a fear, but I was talking to them about it like it was something in terms that they could understand. So about 2 or 3 weeks into roughly 2 weeks into the lockdown, James had found my phone at some stage, and
he's great on your phone. He does like these little interviews, yes, like, mom, it's fantastic. Yes.
And he was making this little video about coronavirus and about how you need to stay at home, wash your hands, and so they knew about it. But I think I wasn't as fearful of it because my mom is a nurse on the NHS in the UK, and she still is. On the front lines of this thing.
And I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that your mom was working on the front lines.
Yes. So my mom is a superhero. I say that all the time. But just, I think my fear was for her, because she's there by herself. She's been there for 20 years. And she's working with sick people every single day. So I think it wasn't so much the virus, but potentially what that virus could do to my mom. She lost her best friend in Cape Town. He passed away due to corona. So it was close, but also the fact that she's so far was a little bit tough to deal with. And also, we don't know when we're going to see her again because the UK is now having a second wave.
You normally go back once a year.
Yes.
I follow you, girl. I follow your trip. You go back once a year to spend time with your mom, and your mom also comes here.
Yes.
So that this year is completely not
happening.
Didn't
happen. We had, this is the ultimate first world problem, but we had a whole trip booked to Paris in July, because obviously my husband's folks are also there, so the kids get to see their grandparents, which it's not about going to Paris or going to the UK. It's about family, which we don't have here. So, it's still a little bit sore not knowing when we are going to see her again, because it doesn't look like her kind of annual Christmas trip is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, maybe it will. I'm going to put good thoughts out hopefully mom comes home for
only
Christmas.
Only good things, yes.
Yeah, only good things. Okay, so lockdown happens. We fear for mom who's overseas and we're dealing with the kids. School. I mean, that's been one of the most daunting things for parents, to now have to become teachers, and you've got little ones.
Yes.
If kids are, I mean, I don't want to say if kids are like 12 or 13, they'd do it themselves, because they most probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But you have to then become a guardian at home, like a teacher, while the teacher's on Zoom, and try and make this work.
And for the first couple of weeks, there wasn't the Zoom. It was, you were sent the work.
Like a pack.
You were sent the work on email, and there was like a once a week, like a half an hour check-in with the teacher or whatever. And even with little Fallon, like at the beginning, we just got these bags of activities, which were the most just like daunting things. Teaching a two-year-old how to cut along the lines with scissors that are blunt, or like just getting my son to actually not play with his Lego at the table and do the maths or the counting.
Did you have a set place in your house that was school?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We did.
Eventually.
So, yes, eventually we did. And then obviously once the online stuff happened, that was a little bit of the responsibility taken away from Chris and me.
Yeah.
But it was hectic. Like, you being your child's teacher, it's almost like you're too close to it.
Yeah.
You know, you're so emotionally involved. You're like, read, read, read. But once the online stuff happened, it was a lot easier. I'll say that much.
Okay.
But I actually taught for a year. I was a teacher. I'm a qualified teacher.
Nightmare's coming back.
And I hated it. Like, I think being a teacher is a calling, and it's not my calling.
Yeah, well, we know what your calling is. You are fabulous on radio. You've got a radio voice. You have a face for TV. So you're a triple threat, double threat, triple threat. And you produce stuff. I mean, the production is, we've had many meetings where we've spoken about maybe doing something, or you're creative. And your creativity comes out in your production. You've now produced a new show, which is based around goodness. It's based around good things.
Yes. It's so exciting. And this is even more special for me to be chatting to you about this. So a couple of years ago, I had the idea of turning the stories of Good Morning Angels on Breakfast with Martin Bester on Jacaranda into a TV show. And we wanted to go and see how it's going with the people now, like kind of a revisit and see how their interaction with Good Morning Angels
had changed their lives.
And Diane and the team changed their lives. And I tell you, there is no shortage of stories of people whose lives have been positively affected. But literally things like, if I think about one of our episodes where there was a young girl, she goes to a mainstream school even though she's got a disability, because her parents were adamant that she was going to go to a mainstream school. But mainstream schools are not very accessible for people with disabilities. So she needed a wheelchair. So she approached Good Morning Angels and she got a wheelchair, something that functionally, like tangibly, has improved her life. So going back, meeting with Emily, seeing how she's doing now, how her family's doing, and then giving her the opportunity to give back to someone else that's in need was just, and every week, it's just, the stories just get more and more amazing. So yeah.
They are feel good.
Yeah.
And they are special, and they do give you that, the goosies.
Yes.
But they come from tragedy normally.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope then with putting these episodes together, producing, creating, and not becoming invested in the story. Because sometimes, I mean, the wheelchair is a beautiful example, but sometimes the wheelchair is the tip of the iceberg and so much more is needed.
Yeah.
And the need in our country is so vast. How do you keep your head above the water and keep doing the work you do and not become invested in a story where it is emotionally taxing to you?
Yeah. I was actually talking to Chris about this the other night when we were watching Umke Ingela, because I look at the work that Diane has done over 15 years of Good Morning Angels. She knows every person's story by heart. And that's why, like, having her now chat to these, the guests, having walked this path with her, is, it's just so special. But Chris and I were chatting and we were, and I was saying, it must be so emotionally draining to hear all of these stories all the time. And I think about the process of viewing and making notes on episodes and looking where we can change and just hearing the stories over and over again. For me, actually, it gave me such a great sense of perspective about the position that I'm in my life and how lucky I am to be healthy, to be able to work and to have a family that I love. So I think as much as it did definitely bring a tear to my eye, like some of the episodes, I did have to take a break from them. But most, the thing that, the kind of overarching theme that I have gotten from the producing side of things now is just perspective and how lucky I am to have the life that I have.
So again, I follow your life on social media. We're friends and sometimes, not sometimes, we can make this excuse of busy. And I'm very thankful that I'm able to watch your life through this lens.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, your family unit is one that many people will work towards or want to aspire to have, because it is pure love. It's pure love and you can see it. It's really beautiful.
Sometimes I do cry a little, but Dad, let's now be honest with the people watching your show and listening. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have asked for better, but I mean, it's and that's why I think that's how I run my social media, is to be as honest as possible with people. Like, it's not always
sunshine and roses.
It's hard. Parenting is hard. Marriage is hard. Running a business is hard. Being a freelancer in this industry is hard. But the kind of gems that you get out of it and those awesome, awesome, awesome moments, they do make it worth it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's difficult.
Of course it's tough.
Yeah.
The body positivity is huge in your vocal speak on your platforms. And I started the show by saying, when you work out, I'm inspired. Like, you really do, you push it. Even on the bad days, you're still like, I'm getting up and I'm doing something and I'm going somewhere. And it does inspire me to do the same, because we can sometimes get in a rut where we sit and eat Kit Kats and pizza and don't want to get up and just continue. But you're also not afraid to flaunt your beauty. Like, I am who I am, and this is my body. And I'll put on a costume, and I'll go to the beach. I'm a mom, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm beautiful. And if I have a little line here or there, this is who I am. And I think that, I don't want to say it's brave, because it's who you are, but it's inspiring to other people who don't have that confidence.
Yeah, and I think the more of us that do, with our stretch marks and dimples and tummy rolls and whatever, that do put our bikini photos on, like on social media, because it's a beautiful moment and you want to celebrate it, or you just want to post for the sake of posting it. I think the more of those bodies we see, the less of a fuss there will be if there are more posts about it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody can't look like Heidi Klum after four kids. Like, that's just not
normal.
It's not normal. Like, that's not the norm. The norm is everybody. The norm is whether you are like a size zero and you are very, very skinny, that's normal for you because that's your body. Whether you are a size 18 or a 20 or a 22, that's normal for you. Like, it's not, we shouldn't be put into boxes. And I like, something I feel so strongly about, like, don't, like, this body is, it's all we've got. Like, it's your home. You don't want people not
to love.
You need to love it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, your posts are inspirational in that sense, because even as a man, like, I've got a body dysmorphia sort of about myself. And the reality is, I sometimes have to look in the mirror and physically have a conversation with myself. I'm like, Brenty, this is who you are. And you're a beautiful boy. Just go with it. You're beautiful. And I think if more people see that as a norm. What is that photo of Marilyn Monroe? When she's like on the beach and she's beautiful. She's voluptuous. She's got... And somehow the media have changed that in our eyes.
Yeah. And I think social media as well. Because I read this thing that said, and you might have heard it before, that said the reason why sometimes we have insecurities is because we're comparing our behind the scenes to someone else's highlights reel. And that essentially is what social media and what you see on TV, music videos and all of that stuff is about. And you kind of look and you're just like, oh, but no, I don't look like that, so I shouldn't put my photo up. Put your photo up, man. Like,
do it.
Do it. Because I'm a very strong believer in if it makes you happy, do it. If it makes you happy and it's not hurting anyone else, that is all that you need to focus on.
Done. Fools. Period.
Period.
I'll tell you one thing, and it's a mixture of following you, following inspirational people. I keep people around me that are like me. Mm. And it's the same on my social media. But one of the things that I've become very cognizant of, and I've done it often on your posts, is the last thing I will call you is beautiful. Because you are beautiful. But you are intelligent, you are witty, there's so much, you're powerful, you're independent, and you're beautiful. And I think that's also important, is the words that we use to encourage each other should not just be about face value. Human beings are complex and they're full of many different cogs, and those cogs are all beautiful.
Yeah.
And I do that often on when I see, because you can put some stunning photos on. Girl, when you're in photos and the dresses, and it is mad. Like, you are photogenic as all hell. But the last thing you are, well, the first thing you are is beautiful, but it's the last thing I'll tell you, because there's so much more in between that, that you are.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, you've taught me that, I think.
Thank you so much.
What, if anybody following, listening, watching, if they would like to see the work that you're doing. So obviously you're on radio in the week.
Yes.
You can listen to Rosie on Jacaranda. So all the platforms that you're busy with, what you're on about, and then also the show, which is one of the highlights. It's absolutely beautiful.
Mm. So I am on Jacaranda every day, Monday to Friday, with Alex J, 12 to 4. It's a chill. Like, I just have the best time. He's such a legend, and we just...
And he's fun. He is funny.
He's so funny, and he's so endearing, and he's just kind. And, like, he's kind to people.
He's one of my biggest Good Things Guy retweeters. Yeah. So on his Twitter, if there's stories that resonates with him, he's like straight away. He gives
and
it
also
that platform.
We'll speak about stuff that he's found on the show and throw forward to your podcast and all of that kind of
I
thing.
Love you.
It's stuff that good people find good people. So that's great. Then I present on two shows at the moment on VIA. So the first one is called Kopskaif, which is every Wednesday night at 6:30. And it's about health and wellness, and it's following six people through their wellness journey to see if they can improve themselves, whether it's cholesterol, blood pressure, whatever. So they, along with three kind of fitness and health champions, they get led on their journey, and it's fantastic because it's so up my alley. Like, I love that kind of thing. It's positive. It's about health and well-being. It's great. And then on a Saturday morning at 8:30, I present on Besigheid vir Saakmaak, which is a business breakfast show, which is also loads of fun, and I'm learning so much. I ended up pole dancing after interviewing a lady who runs a pole dancing studio, and now I pole dance. I've got all the bruises and stuff to show for it. I love it. Even got a pole in my garage now. It's wonderful. And then, yes, Umke Engela, the big one, which is also on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock on VIA as well, which is DSTV channel 147. And that is running, I think, for another 9 weeks. So people can check out all the new episodes and see what brilliant, good news stories is coming out of our country, because there is so much negative stuff, and
we need the positivity. That's important.
Let's flood people with positivity and good vibes.
I want to wish you all the success, and I feel like this is a legacy interview, and one day I'm going to look back and I'm going to go, I interviewed Rosanne McKenzie. The work that you're doing and the places you are going, I can already see it's going to be massive. Keep producing, keep creating, keep shining this bright light that you do. I'm inspired by it. So thank you. It's been an honor having you on the show.
Wow, that's such a beautiful thing for you to say. I can't thank you enough. Thank you, Brent. And I'm so proud of you.
Oh, Roseanne McKenzie. So literally, the person that interviewed me first after that fateful thing when I decided to feed a homeless person instead of drink, changed my life. And having friends like this is amazing. And no kan ek Afrikaans praat soos 'n regte Afrikaner. No problem there.
Uiteindelik.
I want to wish all of you guys a great week and just only good things, and remember to be kind to each other.
I'm Brent Lindekew, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy, and you've been listening to Good Things Guy, a Jackpod podcast. For more episodes or to subscribe, rate or review my podcast, go to iTunes, Iona FM or Google Podcasts. Be kinder than necessary to yourself and each other. Thanks, and only good things.